everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Got a great show for you today. We are in the height of our cultural season. And I have to tell you, I've been to a few performances. I haven't had a bad one yet. Honest to goodness when I tell you. Shakespeare and Company, Shake Up Shakespeare, they were amazing. I went to Abe Lincoln in Illinois, amazing. And the unbelievable Frankenstein. I went to a show yesterday and I saw Mark there. Bong Bong, is that it, Mike? Mark Bong Bong?
Boeing Boeing, I think.
Boeing Boeing, I'm sorry, yeah.
No.
Honest to God, I had to come home and take a nap. I was exhausted. Theatrics, the gymnastics on the show were great. But today we're here to talk about, Mark and I have known each other now, God, 10, 15 years. When did you do Freud?
When did I do it? Probably 15 years ago, I would think.
Yeah.
It's a long time. Yeah.
That's when we first met, and I have been a fan of his. He's done Freud's last session. Let's take a second and just bow our heads at the passing of Dr. Ruth. She was just a beautiful person. Her and the Polish princess. I've got pictures of her and the Polish princess. Believe me when I tell you. And Best of Enemies and a slew of other plays. But Mark now has a new play out in Wise On today, and it's called Forgiveness. And Mark, give us a 30,000-foot overview of Forgiveness.
All right. Well, it's inspired by the Minnesota Board of Pardons, and they're the only state in the United States that does this. Right. If a criminal serves their time, is let out of jail, and performs well in the community for the next 5 years, they're able to apply for a pardon extraordinaire, they call it. To get the pardon, they have to appear before the governor and two other people that he selects, and they set a timer for 10 minutes. And in 10 minutes, this person has to explain why they deserve forgiveness. At the end of that 10 minutes, they confer, the governor and his other two people, and they pardon or they don't. And what we're doing at Barrington Stage is that the audience will be the ones awarding the pardon. These are four actual cases, names changed, and some identity changed a bit. But the audience will be the one to decide. And I think it could be different every night.
Yes, I'm sure it will be. Sitting in on parole board hearings. Several of them through my career. But they all had their own dynamic. How did you ever come up with this?
Well, I read an article about this process in the New York Times. So I contacted the pardon board, and I flew out in December to watch one of these sessions.
Wow. Yep.
And I was just amazed by the process. There's inherent drama in it. These people are desperate to be forgiven so that they can get their rights back. They can vote. They can get better housing, better jobs, if this is not on their record. So they're trying very hard to be forgiven. And some succeed and some do not. They're also able, if they want, to bring someone who's an advocate to speak on their behalf. Or they also allow the victim's family to speak up.
Wow.
And so with that process, you're getting the applicants are kind of getting hit from both sides. And they really are forced to defend themselves.
Sure. To me, who I haven't been through a process like that, but I have heard going up for parole, parole boards, the inmates come in, the offenders, inmates, whatever the current nomenclature is.
Right.
They come in and plead their case. And some of them you really believe. I mean, I I'm going to admit I'm a little cynical, but some of them I really believed that their heart was in the right place and they were trying. And
right.
Their records prove that. And I like this piece about this play. You're out on the street for a while. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to reoffend, that's where you'll reoffend.
Right, exactly. And the 5 years really gives them a chance to show their character and get involved in community affairs, which a lot of them do. After they are done with their 10 minutes, then the governor and the other two on his panel can ask them questions. And that also reveals a lot. This is not a jury because they've already been convicted and served their time.
Yeah.
But the governor can challenge some of the things they say or ask questions about it. And it becomes a fascinating give and take.
I can't wait to see it. I really, it sounds intriguing and fascinating. And I think you captured something that a lot of people don't. There's a ton of drama. There's a ton of drama. And even on a parole board hearing, when you have the victim's family and the person's family, and say a couple of chaplains from the prison talking about how active the person. How long did it take you to write it? Come on. Be truthful. It takes me an hour.
This is from actual transcripts.
Oh, wow.
So it's a public
public document.
It's available to the public, the transcripts.
Yeah.
And so there, like I said, there have some things changed, but really so the people don't have to be identified. But the actual, their responses and the questions are true.
Yeah. Isn't it? You never cease to amaze. I have to say no, and I mean that in a very honest way. It's the plays you bring are real life. I don't want to go too far off a path here, but Best of Enemies, boy, that left people thinking for months after they saw it.
Right.
You know,
well, it's an incredible true story. Sure.
Yeah. Now, some of your, I'm going through my notes. Joey Collins, what's his role?
Well, everyone plays, there are four cases. So everyone plays one of those cases, the lead in one of those cases. But then they also play, they can play people on the board. They can play. So it really, everyone has minimum of two parts and then plus they can ask questions on the council.
You know, that that's just not to go too far. That's the second play this year that I have been to where the actors play multiple roles.
Abe Lincoln was the other one?
Abe Lincoln, yeah.
Right.
But, anyway, I think it added a whole other dimension to the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this show could be done with a cast of 20 people. But this is a lot more fun for the actors. And it also, I think, stirs the pot for the audience that they can see these actors assume the personalities of two people, three people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our friend Peggy Farrell-Wilson, what part is she playing?
She is her main character is arrested for arson.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then she also plays another few characters very well.
Oh, listen, Peggy, she's a great actress. And I want to ask you this too. And folks, we'll be coming back. We'll be circling back for you. I hear from you. I listen to what you say. Because it's the morning show, it isn't just you sit down and watch it. I understand you're getting in the car, you're getting the kids ready for camp. So we'll rehash some of this for people that are in and out.
Sure.
I have gotten, not several, but enough emails to make me make this statement. So you don't commit.
Right.
What was I talking about? By the way, so you know, this show is starting July 30th.
Right.
And will run through August 25th. For the local people who born and raised here, it will be performed at the old VFW, but it's now the Sedell and Lee Blatt Center.
Right.
So, again, I'm blown away by the, you're reading the paper, you see this, and you say, I'm going to try to make a play out of it.
Yeah, it just seems such a dramatic situation.
Oh, it is.
And with drama, you need a conflict, and these people are in immediate conflict. So it just seemed natural. And once I saw the actual process, it proved to be true.
How long did it take you?
Well, it wasn't, because it wasn't writing so much as the other plays are fully written. It was not a long process, maybe 3 weeks. There was editing. I had a stack of transcripts that was 3 feet tall, so I had to go through all of those. That was probably the biggest chore, was to find four that I thought would really interest an audience.
Now, your director, and I'm going to let you say his last name, because if it's not Smith or Green, I'll butcher it.
Ron Lagomarsino. Now you're tripping me up. Lagomarsino.
Better you than me. How did you, I'm sure he read the transcript, but how did you coach him in any way in the mindset of what this is?
Well, I had worked with Ron.
Collaborate's the best.
Collaborate. I worked with him last year on Happiest Man.
Oh, yeah.
And Happiest Man is now playing at the Contemporary American Theater Festival, and it's going to London in November, which is
wonderful.
With the original, cast.
Met him, right? He was the guy with you yesterday.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when I started this project, I talked to Ron to see if he was interested, and I would send him segments of it as I was finished. But we've done changes since the beginning of rehearsal. We shifted a lot, edited, added some, and so he's been a part of it from the beginning.
Well, if he does as well as he did with The Happiest Man, I got to tell you, we still bump into people, say, and we converse about it, a year later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still running all over the world. How cool.
Yeah. It's a story that should be told.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, when you think of all that's going on in the world now, you have to think of somebody like him.
Right. Right.
You know, and let's stray for a moment. Your relationship with Dr. Ruth.
Mm. Yeah. It was a very special, unusual relationship, because we stayed very close, and she really became a true friend.
Yes.
And she always felt that with friendship, you have a responsibility to be in touch with the other person, to update about their lives. And we did that. We went to shows. We went to dinner. I'd visit her at her apartment. And I was so fortunate, when she was in hospice, her family had sort of put up a notice that they don't want to be interrupted.
Yeah.
And so I respected that. And I wrote to her daughter, Miriam. I got a call from Miriam, said she wanted to see me, that Ruth wanted to see me. So I got to see her just a few days before her death, and we had a conversation, and she was excited because the Dr. Ruth play is being done in Israel right now and traveling. So she was excited about that, and she said to her daughter, "Mark and I are going." And her daughter kind of smiled, "Oh, sure, Mom." And a minute later, she said, "You didn't write it on the calendar."
So
she was with it to the very end.
My favorite two favorite Dr. Ruth stories. First one is, you and I know what was our favorite place and still is, kind of, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have the ambiance.
Right.
The old Linden Street Hot Dog Ranch.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mark and I would meet there, and Mark was having a meeting with Dr. Ruth, and she came in, and she immediately engaged almost everybody in the place.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And her chauffeur, that drove her up from New York, looked around, and he said to me, I'm getting out of here. And he went and sat in the car. She was such a real person.
She was. The person she appeared to be on TV was exactly who she was.
Yeah. My other favorite story is there was a young intern, young fella, who was assigned to Dr. Ruth. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his job was.
Right.
So Roseanne and I were at the bookstore, Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, remember that? She's given up, and the place was packed. And mm-hmm. I looked over, and there's the kid against the bookshelf, sound asleep. And I said to him, are you okay? He goes, man, I am exhausted. This woman never stops.
She never did. No.
She and you know what? We have some of our favorite pictures of her with Roseanne. And, you know, she was just I hope the gates were wide open when she got there, because she certainly deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. She stopped for anybody who had a problem. People on the street people were always delighted to see her.
Yeah.
And then some would ask her a question, and she would turn around to me and say, I'll be with you in a minute. Okay. But she would have a private conversation with the person. And there'll never be anybody like her. Never.
Never. No, you're right. And I was sad when I read she passed, but I was also happy because I know what it is to be having body parts go, if you know what
right,
I mean.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah. Until about a year ago, she could still outwalk me.
I know.
And it was...
Told us that. Yeah, you...
Yeah, she was always amazing. And I had the same experience as the intern and sort of being her chauffeur while she was up at Barrington Stage. And yeah, her schedule was incredible. Incredible.
And you know, this thing that, I don't know how it came up. I maybe had a lapel pin. She says, so you're in the Army? And I said, I was in Vietnam. I was a sniper with the Haganah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when Martin Rayner, who was the original Freud in Freud's Last Session,
exactly.
when they were doing the play off Broadway, Dr. Ruth came to see it like three times. And when she liked something, she had no problem just walking backstage, and no one would ever stop her because they'd be delighted it was Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
And Martin was the one who said to me, you really should do a play about her. And I said, well, what's the play about? I mean, I know her radio show, but that's not a play. And he said, no, you have to read about her. And once I did, I was totally captured. Yeah.
She was an amazing soul. And someone, you know, you go when you're at my age, you start reminiscing about the people you've met and who have influenced your life.
Right.
I have a picture of President Mandela sitting right over there on the wall. He demonstrated to me leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no self-pity or no self-anger.
No.
The bigger picture, the people. And Dr. Ruth falls in that category because
I'm
so glad I met her.
So I also had the privilege of meeting Mandela, and he had that glow about him that Dr. Ruth had. And he was so kind when I met him. I was rewriting a screenplay about him. And of course I was in awe, and we sat in his office, and we were the only two people. And he said, my ear is bad on this side. Sit right next to me. So immediately you were in that close contact, and yeah, it changed the whole atmosphere of the room. He was really brilliant.
And sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he was real. He wasn't mm-hmm. doing it for politics. I'll tell you an aside story. I met one of the people who, when I was over there through his transition, that was one of his guards on Robben Island.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, when he got named president, they all got called to Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were very apprehensive. And he embraced them and said, you were doing what you were told to do.
Yeah. And some became staff.
Some became staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are amazing people in the world, and you have found, and not because we're friends, and I mean this for the audience, Mark finds best of enemies was really, they were the best. They became the best, but they were true right. enemies.
Sure.
And how you, I guess what the always get asked about when I have people on, actors and writers, and how do you discover that? And then how do you extrapolate it and put it on paper so that it can be acted?
Well, it's finding the right story. It's finding a story has to have conflict. And it's not enough to, I mean, I always look right now, I don't want to do any play about someone who's not inspirational in some way. Excellent. And that really didn't contribute to the world. So, but it's not only that, it's that you have to see in their life that they struggled and who they struggled with and whether that creates enough tension for a story. Ruth struggled with from the beginning on the kinder transport.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, it was a question of, it's a question always of finding the people and finding the story. And usually within about five pages, you can tell if you can write it or not, because you can see if you're really capturing the voice of the person you're writing about.
Yeah.
Eleanor Roosevelt was an example of that. And I was in such admiration for Eleanor Roosevelt. Yes. I fell in love with her writing it. Yeah, and Harriet Harris did a wonderful job. Oh. Deborah Jo Rupp did a wonderful job with Dr. Ruth. So
Deborah Jo Rupp was amazing.
Yeah.
And for people, if you want to see Dr. Ruth again, get your tickets to Barrington Stage, because she's on the stage and she plays a role that to excellence mm-hmm. that you would never envision her playing. I don't
right.
think.
No. Right? And what amazed me about that show, it's just a wonderful show, but the physical comedy is something I've never seen these actors do.
No.
And farce is such a tricky thing. And Julie Boyd has directed it to run like clockwork, and it really needs to run like clockwork. But it's a must-see, I think.
Oh, and Mark, the gymnastics. There wasn't acting. These were pure gymnastics.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're certainly not my age, but they're not kids either. And they did it so magnificently.
Yeah.
Mark
Absolutely.
Dole, who's again, I met Mark St. Germain and Mark Dole at the same time. And Martin Rayner. In fact, I just wished him happy birthday. And he said things are going fine. He looked forward to coming back.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I try to stay in touch, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the internet. But Mark Dole, he's one of these actors. He can just about play any part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he adapts himself.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the role. Who the guy that was? Enigma.
Alan Turing.
Yes.
Yeah,
I watched an interview with him. Then I watched Mark's play,
Mm-hmm.
And yet every one of his little idiosyncrasies down to the finite.
Right. No, I've been lucky to work with Mark a number of times, and he's always surprising. And he always, his performance last year in Faith Healer was remarkable. I mean, a character I never would have thought of him if I were casting the play, and it would have been a huge mistake. He's so versatile.
You've been in the field how long?
Oh, I've been writing since I was 30, so now I'm about to turn 70, so 40 years.
And for folks that don't know, Mark also wrote for the Cosby Show at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess I sit in awe of you because I write articles and books and stuff. But the way you reach out and you capture the soul of the person so that the actor can be that person. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You have to have a really deep insight.
Well, you need to feel that when you're writing it, it sounds kind of hokey, but you need to feel that you're the person. You need to get so familiar that you would respond as the person would respond. So it becomes almost a ping pong game sometimes when you have two people who are diametrically opposed, and yet you have to be both of them. You have to put yourself in both heads.
How did you ever do that with Best of Enemies? I mean, how did you ever do that?
That was tough.
It had to be.
Yeah, because the racist character, I had to somehow find something about him that I could latch onto. And it was not easy. You know, eventually you had to almost hypnotize yourself into pretending you believed his beliefs. And luckily the man changed through his life. But when he started out, he was rooting for Martin Luther King's assassination.
Yeah. So, and maybe it's because where we're at, the level of hatred and divisiveness and anger and everything in the world today, it came back to me about 2 months ago, Best of Enemies, and saying to myself, we got to work at that.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh boy, I am with the great, and I mean the great. Now he'll give me heck afterwards. I mean this. He's a very humble guy. He's a good friend, a really good friend. But he's also a brilliant playwright. He writes about people and he captures them. And all of a sudden you're thinking about the people he wrote about 3 years later. How long has Best of Enemies been gone? 3 years,
oh,
4 years?
More than that, but I think probably 10 years. It's been a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that don't get old, folks, because when you get old, your rationale for time goes right out the window. Listen,
well,
we're going
to
take a break. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm catching up to you, so.
Oh, I know. I got socks that are 70 years old. You want to see them? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. There's lots more to talk about. Forgiveness is Mark's most current play. It is playing at the Barrington Stage, or it isn't not. It's going to be playing July the 30th. I'm sorry about that, folks. July the 30th through August the 25th. And then, a surprise, before you go, because I want you to come back, on August 11th at 11 a.m., Mark, what is it, Mark? A talk back kind of thing?
Yeah, the audience gets a chance to respond to the play and ask questions about it. And so, yeah, it's a talk back.
So don't miss that. That will be held at the same place. I'm sorry? Are you there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm not. Believe me, sometimes I wonder where the car is. Ever wonder how a real-life case turns into an on-stage drama? Join playwright Mark St. Germain as he explains his complex writing process of taking court transcripts, research, interviews, and turning them into a visceral documentation. And it's a world premiere here. I promise you, this has legs and will go a lot of other places. We're going to take a break. And as you know, I've been doing this, and it kind of blends into what Mark and I were just talking about, a hatred and separation and meanness and whatever. This is my flag.
Mm-hmm.
This is my flag. I know a lot of people who are buried under this flag. And I would just ask for anyone watching or listening, please don't desecrate it. You may not always agree. I don't always agree with everything this flag represents. But I can tell you, as a person who's lived in a lot of different countries, I'm always glad to come home. We'll be right back. This is WTBR's Morning Drive on 89.7 FM. We're simulcasting on PCTV Channel 1301. I am with Mark St. Germain, a friend and a marvelous playwright. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I'm here with the great Mark St. Germain, playwright. He's got a play coming locally July 30th through August called Forgiveness. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But also, he has a staged reading coming up. Mark, when is that and what is it about?
It's going to be September 1st, and it's a play about Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
And it takes place 18 years after the death of Christ. And Peter, after pretty much pushing her out of the circle of disciples, needs her because he feels uncomfortable with Paul coming in and taking some control. So he wants her as an ally and finds her and tries to bring her back. And that's what the play is.
Oh, wow. Again, for you folks who missed the first half of the show, Mark finds people and then writes plays about them. And some of them, for those people that are just tuning in, Freud's Last Session, Best of Enemies, Dr. Ruth, Best Day of My Life?
Happiest Man on Earth.
Happiest Man on Earth. And brings people to life. And what I have found with Mark, and I've known Mark since Freud's Last Session, is that when you see one of his plays, parts of it will never leave you. Now, he brought out Eleanor, a play about Eleanor Roosevelt, who I absolutely, when it ended, I was sad.
Yeah.
I was sad when the play ended. And trust me, me sitting in a chair that long, that's a lot for the old soldier here. But anyhow, mm-hmm. I'll never forget, and I've used this in other venues. Eleanor said this quote, "Don't preach to me, talk to me."
Right.
Now, I mean, you don't think I remember your stuff? Look at this. I don't remember where I parked the car. But, you know, it's what you did in capturing, I've always been a fan of Eleanor. My mother was a huge fan of Eleanor Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
But when I walked out of that play, I was disappointed it was over.
Yeah.
I absorbed so much of it. And what she was the brains behind that outfit.
Yeah. Well, she was the heart behind the outfit for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I hear on the glass ceiling, she was sitting on the glass ceiling looking down in the 40s. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we had such a great team for that with Harriet Harris and Henry Stram was the director, and they did a wonderful job.
Oh. Well, you think that'll ever come back? You think will ever come back?
I don't know. It's been done a couple times throughout the United States. I think somebody who did it in San Diego is bringing it to another theater. I wish it had stronger legs, but people sometimes currently have no interest in the past. No. And I found that especially with Eleanor and even trying to get it published. They're much more apt, and I've been very fortunate. I've gotten pretty much all the plays published, but this one was more difficult because it was grounded in the past, about an older person, and there was some prejudice against that.
And I don't, and it's obvious to me that people need to know more about our history.
Right.
Because Absolutely. Now when I hear certain things, I have to give credit where credit's due. I had some of the finest teachers in the Pittsfield school system and in St. Charles when I was a kid. But boy, we learned history.
Right.
We're getting off topic here, but I get offended when I hear one group of politicians calling another group of politicians Nazis or this or that. Better read up on what Nazis were.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may not like a person, but to refer to them as a Nazi is
right
in my book.
Well, history does repeat itself, but I've got to say right now, I think we're in a time that this is very unusual. I always tend to compare current situations with the past, and I don't think there's anything comparable to what we're going through right now.
No, and I better say this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the Mayor's Office, Peter White in the City Council, and or the two people riding their bicycles on North Street in the rain. God love you. But I these are uncharted waters for sure.
Right.
Just prior to the show, I listened to the broadcast. The people in Taiwan are doing all these preparations for war.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get back. Forgiveness is a play that is not will be playing on July the 30th through August the 25th. I'm sorry. For us local people, the old VFW on Linden Street.
Right.
It's a great venue. I really love it because it's intimate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's comfortable, but it's intimate. And that's the perfect place, in my opinion, for a play like this.
Right. No, it's a really wonderful space. And it was such a gift of Sidell and Lee Blatt to purchase that building and give it to Barrington Stage. It has a cabaret downstairs that's beautiful. It has the theater upstairs. It's really comfortable with the amount of seats for an intimate show. And that was thanks to the Blatts.
And, you know, we sat in front of them at Lafage Affair. Lee and Sidell. And, they're getting up there now, but they are the nicest, most unassuming people. They remembered us. I don't, that's something. I really think that we do owe them. And I'm glad they named the place after them. But
yeah.
I think we owe them something more than that as a community, as a city. That's just me. But this reading you're doing, that September. When are you doing? September, right?
Doing it September 1st. It's the latest play I've written. I sort of consider Forgiveness a play/documentary, but this is a play, and it's about Mary Magdalene, 18 years after the death of Christ. And Peter, who pretty much excluded her from the apostles because he was very wary of her and jealous of her, after 18 years, seeks her because he wants her help. Paul is coming in to change the direction of the church. He wants an ally. And he asks Mary Magdalene to come back. And the play is just two people and her feelings about that.
Amazing. I mean, this guy, it takes me 3 days to write a page. And anyhow, I'm not going to go there. But one of the unique things about this play, Forgiveness, is that you, the audience, will determine the outcome for the person seeking parole.
Pardon. Right.
Yeah.
It should be really interesting. I'm curious to see how it changes night after night. There's a joke with the actors that they're kind of competing to be the ones forgiven every night. And it's fun to watch. They're really four very touching individuals. And I think people will enjoy it. And I do think it's a chance to talk to your neighbors about it. Yeah. Because while the governor is deciding, we take a minute break so that people can talk to each other about it. And are they going to pardon? Are they not going to pardon? And I think it will stir up a lot of conversation.
When you think about the premise, recapture it again, Mark, for the people just turning. It's a Minnesota, unique to Minnesota.
Right. It's the Minnesota Board of Pardons, and they are the only state to do this. But it was started so that someone who served their time for an offense in jail, once they get out of jail and they have had a good record for 5 years, they can apply for a pardon extraordinary. And that would erase their record. So all of a sudden, they can get better housing, get better jobs, vote again, have privileges that we all have. And it's obviously you'd want that badly. Right. But it only happens, this hearing only happens twice a year. And for the pardon extraordinary, maybe there's 30 people who get hurt. That's it.
Wow.
And out of many people. So it was an exciting process to watch. And I think it will be exciting for an audience because these are the actual
case
trial. What was said when they tried to get a pardon. And also then after they make their 10-minute statement, they have a time clock on them for 10 minutes. After that, then the board gets to ask some questions, and that can change the outcome. And sometimes they have someone speaking up for them on their behalf. Sometimes they have a family member of the person they either killed or injured or who are allowed to speak as well. So it's really, you don't know what's going to happen until the very last second.
And to me, this will be one of the takeaway, I believe, one of the takeaway plays that you will talk about for a long time, for a while after each performance, people going, because it's giving you insight also to almost not a hidden, but a not publicized part of the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, You know, I hear that, you know, prison is the worst thing in the world. Well, you know, in some cases, lives are saved.
Yes. There's an example of that in this play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like just an aside for a little promotion for our county jail. You know, I got into it with a former person here, an official, that sometimes putting a person in jail when they're on drugs or an alcohol to let them dry out. And this is a certain, they got medical people at this jail. They got everything, because until they reach sobriety, they're all going to be thinking of the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's kind of too often they throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And this play will bring a lot of that out. To people do reform. They really do. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've lived through it. And you know, again, you capturing it and being able to, even though you had to have the vision to go out there and get the transcripts and then say, this will make a play.
Right. Right. Well, there was so much drama in the process. I thought it would be a good play.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the audience disagreeing with each other about who is pardoned and who. It makes you look at your own belief system, and whether you can believe that somebody can be rehabilitated. And this will have a wide range of opinions.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, you know, I was in the career field of criminal justice for over 50 years. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. But you're the first person that I've known that didn't want to make a prison movie or, I've been approached. There's enough of that out there, because it never portrays the way it really is. There was one, I forget the name, Green Mountain or something. I don't know. That was the closest. But so what else is in the shoot here? You've got the new play, The Reading.
The new play. And right now we have Happiest Man on Earth going to London in November.
Now, are you going to go over?
Yes. And it will be original director, original cast. And so we're all excited. Wow. So it should be a lot of fun. And meanwhile, I'm just researching and looking for something that's new that I'd like to write about. So it's tough to find. It's harder than you think to find heroes. And so that's what I'm really looking for, somebody who changed the world for the better.
You know, you say that. I was just speaking with a peer, someone old like me. And, you know, when we were growing up, and you too, we had heroes.
Right.
We had baseball heroes. We had the John Waynes. Now, maybe they were fictitious or whatever, but to people growing up, they were heroes.
Right.
I have to, you'll get a kick out of this. I hope. Someone said to me, well, are you a Democrat or a Republican? I said, well, currently I'm an independent. But I said, I was born and raised a Democrat, but I consider myself a JFK, John F. Kennedy Democrat. And I went, oh, you're such a dinosaur. Well, boy, does that make you feel good, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
But those were our heroes.
Sure.
And I think that's what's kind of missing. Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Roger Mayer, Willie Mays, Jackie Robinson, they were all our heroes. I don't know who are the heroes today.
No. They are out there, but some are, like, I was very interested in doing a play about Jane Goodall. And
oh, yes. Yep.
But I wouldn't do it without her cooperation, and I couldn't get through to her. So that's another thing that you need to consider with.
Yeah, I envy you. I envy your talent. I envy your and don't take, and I mean this, your genius, because you do find them. What was your first play? I'm drawing a blank.
The first play was probably Out of Gas on Lover's Leap, and it was a long time ago. The WPA Theater in New York.
What was the one you did here with the two presidents?
Oh, here. Yeah. I am trying to think. God Committee, maybe?
I think so.
I think it could be, yeah.
And how did you come up with that? I mean, through all these pleas, it's people. It's real people.
Right. Well, a friend of mine, her father was on a list for a transplant, and I think it was a liver transplant. So I was just curious how they selected people. And I went over to a hospital in New York, and I said, this committee that decides, I'm really interested in how you come to it. He said, it's very analytical. It's very scientific. Emotion does not enter into it. And I thought, that's a crock. It's impossible. Yeah. So, and he said, I'll only give you 10 minutes. Well, an hour later, we were walking around the hospital and he was talking about how personalities do influence the decision making. Okay. And so God Committee was set at a time where they had to quickly decide someone who should get a transplant when the person who was slated for died on the operating table and the heart was in transport. Yeah. So they had to make up their minds in, I think it was 90 minutes. So it was just, again, just kind of being interested in the process and people and knowing that it had to be a dramatic situation in that decision room.
Well, all I can tell you is it's an honor to have you as a friend. I wish you the very best of luck. Keep writing. Your plays touch so many hearts. And now I'll be thinking all day again about Eleanor. And, with my mind, it's one track, baby.
Well, Billy, I appreciate you having me on, and we've had a wonderful friendship. It's been...
I'll tell you, I there's certain things in life I'm very thankful for, and your friendship is one of them. And folks, Mark's going to give you the name of the play. You have to see it because I keep saying the wrong one. Whoop.
Forgiveness? At Barrington Stage.
No. Forgiveness, yes. But the one that's playing there now.
Boeing is going. Is Boeing playing there now.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it's a really excellent play. Remarkable cast. Definitely worth seeing. And if you want to get some laughs, they're guaranteed with this.
You will walk out of there laughing. And you'll also walk out of there amazing that these two guys can throw their bodies around at their age.
Yeah.
Mark St. Germain, the verdict, I'll tell you, Forgiveness is a play, but folks, you will have the power of the verdict. And that should be very, very interesting. Be well, my good friend, and I'll catch up.
Thank you. Thanks,
let us
Bill.
Know about, let us know about where we'll catch up, seeing the HDR is out of the question.
Absolutely. That's the next
All
stop.
Right, brother. All right, thank folks, you, a couple of announcements. Word by word, this Sunday at the Mount, let's forget that because this Sunday's gone. I do want to also say Berkshire County Historical Society's got a lot going on. And if you can, support local venues like the Berkshire Historical Society. They're a great group of people. They do wonderful things. Also, I would ask that you stay in tune with... the W.E.B. Du Bois. Now, I worked with a relative of W.E.B. Du Bois. They're down there in Great Barrington. The W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Freedom and Democracy. Get down there, support them. Be involved. They do a lot of teaching and training, and I'm going to be one of their biggest supporters and promoters, just so you know that. Also, you better get there pretty quick because July, this weekend, it's gone. Frankenstein is gone. So get to Boing Boing or Bing Bing, whatever it is. It's at the Barrington stage. You will laugh. You will laugh. You will laugh. That's all I'm going to tell you. And you'll be amazed at the acrobatic acting. Acrobatic acting. There's a new thing you can use, Mark. Acrobatic acting.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody. And as I always do, I know some of you ruffles your feathers. God bless. And today, let's make somebody else happy and take care of each other. Because I look around each other, that's all that we have. And the better you can be to somebody, the better their day will be and the better you will be. Mark, you are the best. Take care, brother.
Thank you. You too, Bill. Have a good day.
You
bye now. Keep on.